Is your concern about what you want fitting into his concern about what he wants?
Dr. Tony Evans talks about putting first things first when it comes to prayer.
God wants us to start our prayer with a divine orientation, hallowing his name, submitting to his kingdom, committed to his will.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. God has promised to provide for our needs. Today, Dr. Evans takes us to the Lord's Prayer for a look at how we present those needs to the Lord and how he responds when we do. Let's join him.
Matthew chapter 6, verse 11, Jesus continuing his explanation to the answer to the question, how to pray, says that we ought to say, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Please note as we begin our study that that's not the first line of the prayer. The first line of the prayer is, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The first line of the prayer is concerned with God's person. The next line of the prayer goes to God's program, thy kingdom come. The next line of the prayer goes to God's priority, thy will be done. It moves from God's person to God's program to God's priority. God's name is to be hallowed. His program is to be invited, that is, we are to function under his rule, and his will is to be submitted to. His will is done. In other words, only after you prayed that can you get to, I want something. Give us this day our daily bread. It's not that God minds you praying, I want something. He just wants to make sure that when you tell him you want something, you haven't forgotten thy kingdom come and thy will be done. In other words, is your concern about what you want fitting into his concern about what he wants? Are we on the same page is the question. You see, oftentimes when we start off, Lord, gimme, 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 there has been little consideration about how he starts off with saying, gimme, 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 gimme. God wants us to start our prayer with a divine orientation, hallowing his name, submitting to his kingdom, committed to his will. Hallowing his name, submitting to his kingdom, committed to his will. But now emphasis shifts from what God wants to what we need. He is going to go to now God's provision in prayer. He's then going to talk about God's pardon in prayer and then God's protection in prayer for us. To put it another way, you're in better shape in verse 11 if you're taking care of business in verses 9 and 10. You're going to see a lot more answers in verse 11 if you've hallowed his name, serviced his kingdom, and submitted to his will. Because that means you're on his page. You're not simply inviting him to be on your page. Now, this request is full of information. I could probably go a couple of hours on this one phrase. How much time do you have? No, just kidding. Your body is of vital importance to God. Your body is of vital importance to God. Let me say that again. Your body is critical to God. Because anything God wants to do in history, among people and through people, he needs a vehicle through which to do it. Right now, you and I are surrounded by radio waves. But without a radio, it won't do you a whole lot of good. Because those waves that are transporting the sound need a vehicle through which to express itself. It needs something that can contain what is invisibly being distributed all around this room right now so that it makes sense in terms that our five senses can understand. You see, our five senses can't understand radio waves. We don't pick up that signal. But a radio has been duly constructed to be able to catch, interpret, and dispense talk shows and music and news and all manner of information because it serves as the vehicle to communicate the invisible. So it is with our bodies. Our bodies are designed by God to be the vehicle through which God expresses his program and plan for us and for his own sake. To put it another way, our humanity is God's conduit. Our humanity is God's conduit for the purposes of achieving God's goal. So that's why we want to make sure that our bodies, to the extent we can, and to the extent God empowers and allows us to, are in peak performance so that we can accomplish the first part of the prayer. God is concerned about our humanity. I want to look at four things that come out of this phrase over the next few moments. First of all, I want to look at the source of your daily bread. He says that we ought to pray, give us this day our daily bread. You're saying give us to who? You're saying give us to the same person you addressed when you started the prayer. You're saying our Father give us. You're going to the Father. Your daily bread is sourced in your Father. Your daily provision is sourced in God. Now, this goes all the way back to the beginning of creation, when God made all manner of vegetation and he made all manner of animals. He told Adam to name the animal. The reason that Adam would eat was because God created. No creation, no food. No creation, no daily bread. That Adam was to find his source for his well-being physically, living in a physical world in the creative genius of God. However, as you know, sin entered into the world, and when sin entered into the world, chaos entered the creation. And when chaos entered the creation, that which was to be an automatic blessing was no longer automatic. Now there would be weeds and thistles and thorns. Creation has been cursed by sin. But what God invites us to do in this prayer is to come to him and say, you give us our daily bread. Or to put it another way, God, I'm counting on you to override the curse. I am banking on you in my prayer to override what Satan and sin is seeking to do, and that is curse what you have determined to be a blessing. Now, if you don't think there is a curse operating, then you haven't been listening very well to your news. Every week they're coming up with something else that can make you sick. Then they change their mind. Well, this study was done and they thought that this would make you sick. And now, you know, I heard for years how bad salt was. I heard the other day was, well, scientists have discovered that salt is not nearly as bad. And I was glad to hear it. They know about some things, but that is the visitation of the curse, which is why 1 Timothy chapter 4 says that you sanctify your food with prayer and the word. That is, you address the curse. You should not only pray because God gave it, you should pray because you don't want nothing else getting in it. The unseen germs, the unseen effects of sin that attack our body are addressed, he says, in prayer. Because the reason you're asking your heavenly Father to feed you is because you don't want the wrong person feeding you. Oh, you say, you didn't know the devil had a food program? You weren't aware that Satan loves to cook? That he is in the culinary sciences? Do you not recall that he told Jesus, turn these stones into bread? Isn't that food? In Matthew 4, he says, Jesus, let's eat. And Jesus said, I can't give thanks for that food. Because man does not only live by bread alone, by the food, he also lives by where it came from. He lives by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So that life does not only come from what you have, but where it came from. God is the source of your provision. Better yet, your Father is the source of your provision. Not only yours. It's a universal principle. Look, for example, in Psalm 104. Talks about God's being source for all creation. He says in verse 10, he sends forth springs in the valleys and they flow between the mountains and they give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. Quench their thirst with what? With the water that God has running down between the mountains. He says, beside this, the birds of the heavens dwell and they lift up their voices from the branches. Verse 14 says, he causes the grass to grow for the cattle and vegetation for the labor of man, so that man may bring forth food from the earth. Verse 15, the second half says, and food which sustains man's heart. Verse 16 says, and the trees of the Lord drink their fill, the cedars of Lebanon, which he planted. Verse 18 says, and the high mountains are for the wild goats, and the cliffs are a refuge for the rock badgers. He made the moon for the seasons. Verse 21 says, the young lions roar after their prey and seek their food from God. Who would have ever thought that when lions roar, they're sending up a prayer? They're sending up a prayer, Lord, feed me today. Lions seek their food from God. That is, in the animal kingdom, they are instinctively conscious of a provider. Which is why they don't have ulcers. Because they are confident in his provision.
So how do we develop that same kind of confidence? Well, Dr. Evans will talk about that when he continues our message in just a moment. In the meantime, he's written a brand new book called Praying Through the Names of God that'll not only teach you the deep meaning and significance behind those names, you'll learn how they address all the situations we face in life. There are 300 specific prayers on 80 different names of God to get you started, along with room to write down your own thoughts and prayer requests. Visit TonyEvans.org today for information on getting a copy of Praying Through the Names of God. And while you're there, be sure to take advantage of a special offer that'll help you dig deeper into a subject we'll be studying through July. It's a new 7-lesson compilation called The Power of Prayer. It'll teach you how to make your prayers more passionate and productive, how to connect your prayers with God's kingdom agenda, and explore the important role prayer plays in your spiritual growth. And right now, we're offering this collection as our thank you gift when you help us get through these difficult summer months with a contribution of any amount. This offer is only available for a limited time, so get the details on the power of prayer and make your donation online at TonyEvans.org. Or call 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our staff members help you. I'll have our contact information for you again later on. Right now, though, Dr. Evans is back with more of today's message.
Everything you have for your physical well-being is sourced in God. You say, I'm going shopping to the grocery store to get my food. The grocery store is merely a vehicle through which you get your food. It's not where you get your food from. Your food is sourced in God. If you go to the vegetable section, then those vegetables have come to you by way of somebody's farm, which means that something was planted in God's earth, which means that when it came forth, it had replicated its seeds so that more of the same could continuously be planted. So by the time it hits your table, God has simply allowed it to go through a chain of events, but it is sourced in God. When you go to get your 2% milk, that 2% milk that's located right next to the steaks came off of somebody's cow. But that cow could only produce milk and get fat enough and fresh enough to produce meat because it could eat grass. No grass, no milk. Because God has so constructed the cow system to be able to take just eating grass and the system work in harmony with that to produce cornflake and Cheerio breakfasts. It is sourced in God. You say, but it's not God who gets up every day and goes to work. It's me. It's not God who pushes the shopping cart. It's me. God's got you on that one too. He says in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, remember, it's the Lord your God, watch this, who giveth thee the power to make the wealth. He gives you the power to make the wealth. Now, how did he give you the power? To get the power to go to work, you have to eat. To get the power to go to work, you have to eat. And anything you ate came from something he made. So anything you eat that always comes from something he made is that which gives you the power to go make the money to be able to keep on eating. It is sourced in God. The Secret Service, when they're hunting for counterfeit money, are interested in one thing. Their first concern is not where the money is, but where it came from. They want to get to the source. They want to get to who's minting this artificial money, because that's where the false power is. The issue isn't that a counterfeit bill is in the bank. That's just where it's located right now. The issue isn't that it's been used at the mall. That's where it's located right now. They're interested in where it came from, because where it came from is the problem. And what's true of counterfeit money negatively is true of your provision of daily bread positively. Don't get that excited because a new store goes up in your neighborhood, because that's not your source. Secondly, the substance. The source, is it sourced in God? The substance is what he calls bread. Bread. Now, I don't hear it among the young people today, but when I was growing up, if you wanted some money, you called it bread. Anybody remember that? Yeah? I want some bread. Okay? And you meant money, because money could be used to buy anything you need. So to receive your daily bread was to receive the physical necessities of life, when we called money bread. It was that which could get us what we needed to function in the physical world. So this verse has to do with the substance of God's provision of that which we need. Now here's the great promise. We've talked about it already, but let me emphasize it. We've already seen in Matthew 6, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, which is the first three concepts of the Lord's Prayer, and all these things shall be added to you. You never have to worry about bread, that is, the physical needs of life, if the kingdom is being taken care of. Because if the kingdom is taken care of, the king will cover the bread. It's like going to work. If you're doing your work, your boss pays you. You don't worry about the boss paying you. The issue is doing your work. If you do the work, he's paying you. God says, you focus on the kingdom. Let me cover the bread. The physical necessities of life. We let the physical get in the way of the spiritual, which messes up the physical. That's what Satan again was doing with Jesus Christ. He says, you're hungry? Doesn't God want you to eat? That is, he made food an end in itself. He made food its own entity. He made food the goal. He made bread, or in our context today, we would say maybe money, since it buys all of the physical things we need. He made that the standard. Just eat if you're hungry. Jesus said, no, it's not just about eating. It's who's providing the meal. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word. In fact, look at John chapter 6, St. John chapter 6, where Jesus uses this analogy of himself. And let's look at verse 32. Jesus said, therefore said to them, truly, truly, I say unto you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. Verse 35. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. What Jesus does is he takes our physical need of bread and uses it to make a spiritual analogy. He says, I am the bread. I am the satisfaction. I am the supply. And that's why you can trust the promise of Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. My God shall supply all your need. He shall supply all your need according to. Now that's a key word. Philippians 4:19 doesn't say he will supply your need out of. He says he will supply your need according to. See, if I met your need out of, that means I have to deplete what I have to whatever degree I meet your need. If I have $100, then you have a need for five, and I give you out of my riches of $100, I'm now down to 95 because I've given you out of. But when I give you according to, that means I can give to you and never mess with me. Which is why all of us can talk to God about all of our need at the same time, and you haven't dented him one bit. Because he doesn't give you out of, he gives you according to. It is in sync with his ownership.
Well, Dr. Evans will be back with one final reminder we should keep in mind as we pray to God about what we need. First, though, I want to remind you to stop by TonyEvans.org and pick up a copy of our featured CD series for this month, The Power of Prayer. It's a great way to dig deeper into what we've been learning, and it would make a great gift to share with your church. As I mentioned, we'd like you to have it as our thank you gift when you support the work of the Urban Alternative with a contribution of any size. So contact us today and get your copy of The Power of Prayer before time runs out. And while you're at it, don't forget to request your copy of Tony's latest book, Praying Through the Names of God. Details on these and all of our resources are waiting for you online at TonyEvans.org or give us a call at 1-800-800-3222. Our phone center never closes. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222. Well, tomorrow, more from Dr. Evans on praying for God's provision. Right now, though, he's back with this final story.
I was talking to a businessman today, and he's praying for this big million-dollar deal. It's a big one. And he wanted me to pray with him. Never asked me to pray with him before, but he wanted prayer today. He said, pray with me that God turns this deal. $1 million. I said, well, before we pray, can I ask you a question? What does God get out of this deal? He started scratching his head and rubbing his eyes. And the reason why was that was not what was being considered. In fact, it hadn't come up. Whenever you start with give me and God isn't part of the deal, then you got it backwards. It's not that he minds cutting you a $1 million deal. He just wants to know, is his kingdom going to be any better for it? Or is this only about you?
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative, restoring hope, transforming lives.